This morning, you have heard a number of testimonies. Three different people, three different situations, three different lives. But they all had one thing in common, and that is the gospel. And that gospel united all three of them. The message that God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to come, to die, to shed His blood, and to be raised on the third day so that we could be forgiven. And as a result, all three experienced a new life, a change in their lives, not because of what they had done, but because of that simple message of the gospel. And that's what I want to talk to you about here this morning. I want to talk to you about the power of the gospel. You know, over the last 7 weeks, we had went through a study called Every Believer a Witness, of the importance of us who have experienced the love of Christ, who have experienced the power of the gospel, the importance of us going out and sharing with everyone around us, of sharing our story and of what God has done in our lives. But why is it as important for us to do that? Well, I want to share with you one more testimony here this morning, a testimony found in Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, a testimony that is well known, but a testimony of a man who was once known by the name of Saul, but because of the power of the gospel, his life was forever changed. So look with me then in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, where it says, Paul speaking, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that is in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the story of Paul. And we see, first of all, as Paul begins to share, we see the great change in one life. And we can see that Paul begins in verse 12, and he talks about the change that's been brought about in his life. He says, I am now a servant of God. I have been changed because He judged me faithful, and He appointed me, and He called me into His service. But Paul wasn't always there. Paul was not always a servant of God. He was not a faithful follower of God. As we look back throughout Paul's story, and you can look throughout the book of Acts, and you can find that Paul was one of the greatest persecutors of the early church. You look in Acts chapter 8, or Acts chapter 7, and on in Acts chapter 9, we find that Paul himself, he wasn't Paul at that time, but he was called Saul. Saul was present. He was overlooking the stoning of Stephen because Stephen had preached a message of the gospel. We can find that Paul, while he was this persecutor, he went around, he imprisoned Christians. He went outside of Jerusalem, anywhere they were, so that he could imprison, as Acts says, the followers of the way, those who were members of the early church. He oversaw their deaths. This is the man that we are reading about here. A man who despised any followers of Christ. A man who imprisoned them. A man who killed them. He said, "You are the ones who are wrong." But God had another plan. God had another purpose. We find that on the road to Damascus, and you want to know why Saul was traveling on that road? He was going to go persecute some more Christians. But while traveling on that road to Damascus, God intervened. He saw a great light, and he heard the voice of Christ. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And from that moment on, his life was forever changed. Why? Because of the power of the gospel. He went from the greatest persecutor of the early church to the greatest missionary, the greatest evangelist, the greatest church planner, the greatest minister of Jesus Christ that the world has ever known. And it wasn't because of his education. It wasn't because of his family. It wasn't because of any of these other things that he thought was important to himself. He was highly educated. He knew all about the Jewish religion and the Jewish tradition, but he didn't know Christ as his own. And when he came to realize the message of the gospel, that Christ came into this world for him, his life was forever changed. Because Paul says, guess what? I was lost. As he said, that he was acting ignorantly in unbelief. And that word lost, it means a convinced blindness and misdirected affection that results in eternal damnation. And we must always remember that. We must always remember what that means. If we lose this concept of lostness, then we have entirely lost the gospel. Because those who are lost are in convinced blindness. They believe that they are right. They believe that they are on the right path. They have misdirected affections. They are living for themselves. They are living for this world. And the only result of that is eternal punishment in hell. But the gospel can change that. And Paul experienced that change. But that's what he gets on to say in verses 14 and 16. He begins to talk about the great cause of change that is evident there within that passage. Because he says, "And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That is the gospel. He says, "I am only different. I have only been changed because of the gospel, because of the fact that Christ came into the world to save sinners." He is speaking there of the incarnation, of the fact that Jesus Christ came into this world. You know, sometimes we view God as the big God. He's up there. He created the world, and then he's left us all to ourselves. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that God knew that we were in our fallen state. And from the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, there was a plan in place to redeem us, to redeem all of fallen humankind. And that was by sending Jesus Christ into this world. See, God doesn't wait for us to come to him. God has come to us. And that is the greatest message that we have today. The point that Paul is saying is that because Jesus Christ came, he came with one purpose. He came with one mission. He came for only one reason, and that was to save sinners. He didn't come to this world to say, "Oh, I created it, so I want to go and party on it. I want to go and experience all these great things that I gave to my people, to my creation." No, he came knowing that he was going to be on the cross, to die, and to shed his blood so that we could receive forgiveness. It was for no other reason. We heard it spoken about the love of Christ and how when not feeling that love, the desire was only to be loved. What greater love is there than this, that our Father sent his Son to die for us? There is no greater love. And that is the message, that the gospel was what was powerful enough to change this man who was killing Christians to now say, I am one of them. It was the gospel that was powerful enough to change Paul, the worst of sinners. And it is then that now made Paul a trophy of God. And what Paul does here in this passage is he begins to show us how this entrusting and his own reception of mercy and grace in Jesus Christ provides an illustration then that the gospel is the power of God unto sinners, or the power of God unto salvation for any sinner, because it was enough to change him, a terrible sinner. You know, I often hear people, well, Pastor, I'm just too far gone. I'm not good enough to come to church. I need to change my life. I need to stop drinking. I need to stop doing these drugs. I need to break this addiction. I've got to work on that before I can come to Christ. But Paul says, no, you can't work on that, because nothing we have in this world will help you to overcome that. But it is only the gospel that can change you. It is only the gospel that you can have hope in. And I've heard so many times before, even at churches, we say this world is too far gone. That person is too far gone. That person has no hope. We just need to mark them off our list. But Paul says, no, 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 you can't do that, because they will have no hope unless you share the gospel with them. Because he says the gospel is powerful. The gospel is what changed my life, and the gospel is what can change everyone else's life. It doesn't matter what we have done. It doesn't matter what background we have. But the gospel is powerful enough to change everyone's life. And then he goes on in verse 17 to talk about the great celebration. He says in verse 17, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul is thinking back. He's remembering his life. He's remembering who he was. He's remembering how he was an enemy of God. And now he's a servant of God. His life's been changed. He's experiencing that love. And all Paul can do as a result is break out into praise for God, because he realized it was because of God that he was the new creation. Church, aware of what the gospel can do, we have heard stories of change this morning, and I thank you all who got up and shared. We have heard these stories of change brought about in their lives. Why? Because they all said it was because of Jesus Christ. That's what changed their lives. That's why they are the person that they are today. We have seen Paul, who said, I was this person, but now I'm a follower of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That's why I am who I am. And if we are aware of what the gospel can do, we should be encouraged to stand for it. We should be encouraged to hold on to it. We should be encouraged to engage in warfare with those who teach otherwise. And we should be encouraged to share it with those who need it most desperately. I've heard it said so many times, Before you called me as your pastor, I was talking with others and they just said, hey, y'all need to forget about where you are. They just need to forget about where they are. They need to move on. They need to move out. But I believe God has Big Spring Baptist Church here for a purpose. God has Big Spring Baptist Church here for a reason. As we all talk about the community in which we live, and we say, there's so much work that needs to be done. There's so many people that need to experience change in their lives. And we say, well, more education. They need to get into this program and that program and this program, and more money needs to be poured in, and we need to do all these changes and all. Well, that's good and well. That's good to go about. But let me tell you here this morning, that will bring no hope to this community that we are planted in here, right here this morning. Because the only hope for those people outside these doors is that we as a church will be faithful followers of Christ who have experienced the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. And we know how the gospel has changed our lives. And we've experienced it. And we proclaim it. But then we say so many times, but it can't change out there. It can't change those people. Our world is too far gone. But no, here's the reality. The gospel is the only hope for those outside these doors. The gospel is the only hope that this community has. It is only the gospel that can bring about changes in people's hearts. Because those who are lost, those who are dying, those who are going to hell, the only hope they have is that the power of the gospel will change their lives. And if we will not go, and if we will not share, what hope do they have? And even in our world, where all hope seems gone, and there seems to be nothing that will help, let me tell you, church, we have the answer. We have the most powerful weapon that has ever existed. We have the only hope, the only thing that can change our world, and that is the gospel. So let us never give up on it. Let us never say that it is no longer changing people's lives, because it has always been a powerful gospel, and it is still a powerful gospel even right now. It is our world's only hope. It is our community's only hope. It is this church's only hope. We have heard the stories of the power of the gospel. Let us not forget it, but let us live that power out. Let us go. So I want to share with you, I am here only because of the power of the gospel. I've never shared this before, but I just feel right now that God is saying, you need to open up. I don't even know if I've even shared this with my parents before. But I had went through a period in my life where I had hit rock bottom. I had gone to the deepest and the darkest despairs of life. I felt that there was no more hope. And when I was in college, I got into my car and I had said, this is it. I was planning on taking off in my car and somewhere along I-40 between Jackson and Nashville, wrapping my car around a tree. Because I was done. I couldn't face it. I couldn't experience those challenges in my life. But yet God intervened. God changed my life. He said, I'm not through with you yet. I have a plan. I have a purpose for you and your life. That's the power. You know it. You've experienced it. But will we go out and believe in that power and say, I know that this is the answer. And I know that I have been called to go out and to share. That's why we did those 7 weeks on Every Believer a Witness. Not so that we could get a certificate and say, I've done this. No. It was important for us to do that because we know that is the only hope for our world. That is the only hope for people who are lost and dying and going to hell, is if we will be faithful and go and share. So as we end this morning, maybe you are here this morning and you haven't experienced that life change, the power of the gospel, as Miss Sue was sharing. She was living that life. She was going to church, but she never experienced that change, that power of the gospel, until one day she came and she understood, and ever since her life has been different. That is what the gospel does. And so maybe you are looking for that change. Maybe you are looking for hope here this morning. Let me say, you can only find that in the fact that Jesus Christ came and died for you and shed his blood so you could receive forgiveness of sins. And on the third day, he rose from the dead so that you could experience that same victory. But maybe you are still struggling. And maybe you're like, yeah, I know I've experienced it, but I have struggled still believing in the power of the gospel, that it can change those. Just pray that God will bring forth afresh on your mind the work he has done in your life. And remember, that same work can be done in every person's life you come into contact with. But it begins with us being faithful and sharing. And we share. Why? Because we know there is power in that message. We know there is power in the gospel. And that they can experience life-changing power if they believe. And so we will be faithful to share. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, I thank you that you have come into this world, that you have sent your Son so that we could receive forgiveness as he came as the perfect lamb, as the perfect sacrifice, and shed his blood. Father, I praise you that we can have forgiveness, that we can move from being enemies of you to being a child of God, not because of what we do, not because we are good enough, not because we go through these certain programs, but no, because of the power of the gospel. So, Father, I pray that this morning you will remind us of that experience. You will remind us of that power. And we will know that without a shadow of a doubt that the gospel was saving people when it saved us. And that the gospel is still powerful and moving today. And that though this world it seems to be falling further and further away from you, we have the weapon that can change it all. So let us be faithful. Let us be bold. Let us be courageous and go out and be followers of Christ, living a life that points to you and sharing this life-saving message, this powerful gospel with those we come into contact with. And we pray for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes.